So, Council, as you understand, the next item on your agenda is a break. However, I'm going to invite Council to please leave as you need to take personal breaks and come back. And I apologize beforehand, ahead of time to our presenters for the next item, but I'd like to accord you as much time as we possibly can before we must convene or must recess at 4:30. I apologize for the disruption that that may cause to the presenters. But otherwise, in other words, no break.
Chief, just another reminder, this is a no action item. It's education, public comment.
Thank you.
Here to help.
Good afternoon, those stalwart few who remain in the room. I'm Judy McConnell, Administrative Presiding Justice of the Court of Appeal, 4th Appellate District, and honored to be co-chair of the California Task Force on K-12 Civic Learning, established by Chief Justice Cantil Sakue and Superintendent Tom Torlakson. My co-chair sitting next to me is Superintendent Dave Gordon, who is Superintendent of the County Schools in Sacramento. And next to me on my left is another member of the task force, Senator Joe Dunn, Executive Director of the State Bar.
Welcome.
Thank you. Those of you around the table know that there is a crisis in civic learning. It's nothing new. It's impacting our courts nationwide, and particularly in California. We have seen contested elections across the country and some in California. And the recent election in Tennessee has showcased how most voters don't understand what they're doing when they go into the ballot booth and vote for judges. Just as most jurors don't quite understand the role of the court, many observers of courts don't quite understand the role of the court in our three branches of government. And unfortunately, many well-educated people don't understand the important role we serve as a third branch. In 2006, Chief Justice Ron George convened a special symposium on challenges facing the courts nationwide. There were, at that time, contested elections, primarily for Supreme Court justices, on issues that the courts had decided. And as a result of that symposium, where we were addressed by Sandra Day O'Connor, he established the Commission for Impartial Courts, which was chaired by Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, Ming Chin, to address the threat to the judicial branch and to make recommendations to the Judicial Council to counter this national and statewide threat. Our final report was issued in 2009, and in 2010, the Judicial Council authorized implementation of the recommendations 37 and 43, which are related to public information and outreach about the judicial branch. And I noticed Peter Allen was here. Yes, still here. And he staffed the Public Information and Education Task Force. We were the only task force on the commission to receive any funds, and we were funded by the Judicial Council at the rate of $2,500, which gave us an opportunity to have one meeting in person, and then we met on conference calls. What was established was a leadership group on civic learning, and as a result of that, in a related action, our current Chief Justice, who has a strong interest in improved civic learning, decided she wanted a summit on civic learning and tasked me with setting up a summit in Sacramento, which we did in February of 2013. And as we were preparing for that summit, and both Joe Dunn and Dave Gordon were with me on the planning committee, we learned that there had been two prior summits, that recommendations had been made as a result of those summits, and nothing had come of it. So we decided to change the theme of the summit to taking action. And the summit was well attended. Sandra Day O'Connor was our keynote speaker. We had panels that were inclusive of Chamber of Commerce, different the unions, the teachers, the administrators. We had many legislators present. And at that task force, there was a huge amount of energy to move forward and improve California's civic learning. At that summit, the chief and the state superintendent established the Task Force on Civic Learning, which was formed and finally met in July a year ago. Chief also established the Power of Democracy Steering Committee, which she made me chair, and we have sort of taken over from the leadership group on civic learning. And we follow up on the momentum created and continue work on the recommendations 37 to 43. And the highlight, I mean, the important thing about these recommendations was someone in the state needs to take a leadership role on civic education, and the branch is the perfect entity to do that. There are many people in the state who are working on improving civic learning, but they're often at odds with each other. We brought them all together in the task force and are moving forward. Recommendation 37, A and B, calls for collecting public outreach resources, and there are resources that are on the court's website that show what civic learning programs are available. We have programs for teachers. We have links to programs for students, actually. And there's a relatively new resource, an Emmy Award. I'm one of the few courts in the United States that actually has an Emmy statue, and that's because the National Association of Women Judges came up with this.
Life isn't always fair, but all of us want to be treated with fairness. It seems we were born that way. Before we can read or write, we know what fair feels like.
We know what fair feels like. None of us had to be taught how to say, that's not fair. The first lessons we learn at home and at school are how to be fair. Everyone gets a turn, no cutting in line, share what you have. It seems so simple until you try to do it. Because even though we all want fairness, we don't always agree on what's fair and what isn't. Stripped down to its core, fairness is treating others the way you want them to treat you and knowing they will treat you the same way. It's playing by the rules, even when you don't win. Because the same rules apply to everyone. Life may not be fair, but the rules we live by must be. In America, fairness is the foundation of our laws. But you won't find the word fair or fairness anywhere in our Constitution or Bill of Rights. And there's a very good reason why you won't. Our founding fathers and mothers were smart. They knew it is impossible to define what's fair and what isn't in every situation. So they created one branch of government devoted to fairness, a third branch of government equal to the others, a branch whose one and only job is to decide what's fair. It is the judicial branch. It is made up of our nation's courts and judges. Judges who don't represent one group or party versus another. Judges who don't make decisions based on their personal opinions. Impartial judges who apply the law without playing favorites, free from fear or sympathy or prejudice, free from the influence of special interest groups, free from emotions that fuel our country's most divisive debates. Judges who don't bend the rules, judges who don't bend to pressure, judges who stand for one thing and only one thing. Fairness. It isn't flashy work. Nobody ever went to a game to watch the referee, but there can't be a fair contest without one. It means making hard but fair calls and not letting the crowd's reaction change your mind. Because fairness has never been a popularity contest. And doing what's right isn't based on poll numbers. Throughout our history, Americans looked to the courts for fairness. Today, Americans still go to court because they trust the judge will handle their case with an even hand, fair and square. They believe that while no one in America is above the law, all of us are entitled to the same law, guaranteed by fair and impartial judges. In this country, our courts are the great levelers. In our courts, all men are created equal. I'm no idealist to believe firmly in the integrity of our courts. That is no ideal to me. That is a living, working reality. Harper Lee's words from To Kill a Mockingbird, spoken by Atticus Finch, are true.
I have seen that reality. I have worked alongside judges and justices dedicated to defending the integrity of our courts. Even-handed judges committed to doing justice for all. Impartial judges who stand outside of politics and partisanship, free from the influence of special interests or particular groups and causes. Because when a judge does what is right according to the law, when a judge decides each case strictly on the merits, when a judge gives every case and every person the same treatment, our courts are what they have always been and must always be, fair and free.
America's courts are fair. Help keep them that way with an informed vote.
Hear, hear.
That film was scripted by Jonathan Shapiro, who was a member of the Public Information and Education Committee, and was produced by the Informed Voters Project of the National Association of Women Judges, and funded primarily by the Florida State Bar and not by any California judicial funds. But Joan Arion, a colleague of mine on the Court of Appeal, has led this project. The chief has been very involved in it. I know others around the table, Mark is involved in it, and many others in this room have been involved in this project, and the film is in Spanish as well as in English. And the project, the film and other materials from the project have been used nationwide to educate voters about the courts, which is a very important recommendation that came out of the Commission for Impartial Courts and the Judicial Council. Another recommendation, 43, calls for developing a strategy for providing meaningful civic education in the schools. This was adopted by the Judicial Council. That was led in many ways to the grant-funded task force on civic learning to develop civic education, a civic education strategy, and I believe each of you now has this before you, the report that we developed, which is a blueprint for action. We also recommended recognition of efforts to provide civic learning, and as you know, the Chief Justice has also teamed with the State Superintendent to sponsor a grant-funded school civic learning awards for California public high schools, and we even took her to Raleigh this year. She didn't know you could drive that far east and still be in California, but she was a hero to all of the people out in Raleigh, which has an outstanding school, and I'm going to show you a film about an award-winning program.
Teaching them how to read and write, we need to teach them how to apply it. So teaching them about what's going on in the world, what are the problems, what is important to them, and what the best way that they think to solve those problems are.
This initiative has really prioritized current events in classroom curriculum, experiential learning. Students are engaging in mock debates, mock trials, and they're talking about issues that are relevant and current and accessible to their lives.
You have to show students that their knowledge needs to become hands-on and that they need to apply what they've learned in school to improving the world around them, making the world economically better, socially better, politically better for everybody.
Students learn that they have the ability to change the community around them, which is something that as high school students we sometimes feel powerless to do.
In the early 90s, I participated in a civic learning program, and because of that program, I could envision myself as a leader in the Latino community. If students don't have access to rich civic learning environments, the majority have deferred the ability to really change their lives. The mission of the California Task Force on K-12 civic learning is about empowering students with the tools that they need to change their lives and to change their communities. So this initiative, in some ways, is about social change and about empowering these students. Ultimately, the task force is working towards a report in 2014, which will lead to further discussions, dialogues, and investments throughout the state on civic learning.
We've got to bring back a system which steeps young people in the importance of participating in our democracy.
It's about setting them up to participate, to make change, to have access. I want students to learn and be great readers and great writers, but what's most important to me is that they go out into the world and become good citizens. This is our vision for students who are not just prepared for college and career, but who will also make an impact in their communities.
The California Bar Foundation funded the task force, and Ms. Gonzalez was a wonderful member of our task force as we did our work. So you now have the completed task force report. We released it August 5th, so it's hot off the press. It's also in Spanish. You can get it on the court's website. And I'm going to turn now to Superintendent Dave Gordon, who will highlight some of the key recommendations.
Thank you, Justice McConnell. And I want to begin by expressing deep appreciation to the Chief Justice, Justice McConnell, and your entire judicial branch for partnering with education to help reawaken the civic mission of our schools. Your commitment and help has been and will continue to be, as we work on implementation of the recommendations, of immense value. My grandfather was a criminal defense attorney and a trial judge in New York City for many years, and he was perhaps the most important influence on my life. So many of our students don't have that kind of influence on their lives, and what this is all about is bringing an awakening of the civic mission that we all bear to every one of our students in California. Most of you know the dismal statistics that prompted us to launch the task force. We in the U.S. rank 139th in voter participation of 172 democracies around the world. In California, less than 50% of high school students, seniors surveyed, viewed being actively involved in state and local issues as their responsibility. And I could go on. The task force work, fortunately, though, comes at a very opportune time, as California is in the midst of several major public education reform. New Common Core standards, a new local control funding model, and a new student assessment system. And it's noteworthy that our very diverse task force voted unanimously to endorse every one of the recommendations in the task force report. Let me highlight just a few of the major recommendations for you. Number one, a sweeping revision of history, social science, content, and standards, the first such revision in over 15 years. We were really, really out of date with our materials, with particular attention to strengthening the emphasis on civic learning. Second, embedding civic learning into the new assessment system so that we will know how we are doing school by school and district by district across the state. Third, professional development for all of not just our existing teachers, but our aspiring teachers as well. Number four, civic instruction across all grade levels that reaches all, not just a few, of our students beginning in kindergarten. Number five, use of proven evidence-based teaching and assessment practices and hands-on experience that motivates students rather than just sitting back and teaching them little factoids which they would give back to us on fill-in-the-bubble kinds of assessments. And finally, reaching out to parents, community, and business leaders to join the effort to bring learning front and center in our schools. We're convinced that the schools can't and won't do it alone. There needs to be community support, community pressure, community activity to say, this is too important for us not to do.
And by the way, while the task force was doing its work, Superintendent Gordon and I have been moving forward with implementing many of the recommendations, and we have met with the president of the University of California, and we plan to meet, as did the chief. We had lunch in her chambers, and we're meeting with the plan to meet with the chancellor of the state university system. Thank you very much, Superintendent Gordon. If you have to be co-chair, which I never liked doing before, you can't do better than Superintendent Gordon, because we were the perfect match with his expertise and the high respect with which he is held. Recommendation 43B that came out of the Commission for Impartial Courts and was adopted by the Council calls for developing political support for civic learning. This is not on the Judicial Council's policy agenda. However, the State Bar has taken the lead on working with the legislature on this issue, and we were fortunate to have Senator Joseph Dunn, Executive Director and CEO of the State Bar, and he will now update you on the State Bar's legislative efforts to date. And I particularly want to thank Joe and the State Bar for being so actively engaged in the task force work and being active on the Power of Democracy Steering Committee, which the Chief has established. Joe.
Thank you, Justice. Thank you, Chief Justice, and other members of the Council. It's an honor to be here this afternoon and represent my board, the Board of the State Bar of California. I also want to introduce another individual who's here with us today, and if there is time for questions, which I know is a little dubious at this hour, she is here to answer questions more specifically about the legislation I'm going to touch on. I want to introduce Esperanza Ross. Esperanza? Who has been the State Bar's legislative advocate dedicated to the issues surrounding civics education. I have to compliment her on her strategic mind that we have all who have been participating in this effort have watched with awe and have already achieved success in Sacramento with respect to several of the civics education issues. My board decided shortly after the Chief Justice indicated a desire to have a summit on civics education that Justice McConnell has already referred to, my board immediately adopted a resolution to become a participant in this overall effort. My board very much wanted to become, as Justice McConnell indicated, the advocate for these issues, many which have been discussed for years, but to move from discussion to action, and fundamentally and hopefully changing policy in California to re-embrace at all levels of our education system more robust civics education and civics engagement. And so my board did that with great enthusiasm, unanimously, no surprise, and has sponsored the bills that I'm going to touch upon very, very quickly. We've done six bills altogether so far, three last year, three this year. Most of you are quite familiar with the legislative process. Even though civics education may sound like a bit of a motherhood and apple pie issue, anytime you introduce such an issue into the education arena, a massive fight breaks out and almost nothing gets through the legislature in that process. Every legislator will tell you the worst type of bill to encounter is a curriculum bill because everyone is right on how to add things to the curriculum. But very, very quickly, if I may touch upon this, because I know Justice McConnell indicated I had exactly 4 minutes. Most of you know me. That's almost impossible for me, but I'll move quickly, Justice. Senator Block from San Diego sponsored our SB 696 last year. There were several aspects to this. It did not make it out of its first house, but the discussions continue. But in essence, what it would require the state to do is to measure civics learning for grades K-12, which I think Dave Gordon already mentioned, assessing students from their work, not on pencil to paper type process, but actually assess them from their work going out in the field on engaging in civics within their respective communities. We also did Senate Bill 619, had several co-authors with respect to it. This had great support, both labor, business, or the Chamber of Commerce. And this one we were very, very proud of, and it would require the Department of Education to develop a civics orientation program for new employees of the state of California. The theory being, if you're going to be employed by the state, one ought to know the civics that relate to state government and all that's associated with it. There was no opposition, quite enthusiastic. One of the stakeholders did ask us to hold this for the time being while they figure out how to actually embrace it once enacted. So we'll continue to move that forward next year, but we do not anticipate that it would be signed into law this year. Assemblywoman Buchanan sponsored AB 137. This was signed into law. It actually got chaptered out by accident. I won't explain that. That's being corrected, but you can ignore that. This bill it ensures that civics instruction is included in history, social science courses, and grade levels, and also requires that developing guides for history, social science curriculum, the state must receive input from civic learning experts, which, of course, is critical to make sure that it's done the right way. This year, we've had three bills as well, AB 1817, sponsored by Assemblymember Gomez. This authorizes high schools to appoint students to be voter outreach coordinators on their campuses and to coordinate other election-related activities, such as voter registration, mock elections, debates. Sounds pretty straightforward, but current law says only adults can serve in those coordination roles, and we felt it was important to engage the high school students themselves, who may not have turned 18 as of yet. We are proud to say this has already been signed into law by Governor Brown, just in time, of course, as we got elections around us. And in fact, an organization that many of you know, the California Endowment, has already contacted us about being a participant with respect to getting materials out and so forth with respect to this particular bill. Also this year, SB 897, this was sponsored by the pro tem, Daryl Steinberg. It's pretty complicated. I won't drag everybody into that. For those who know the education bureaucracy, it is a very complicated bureaucracy, but it does require the state to consider strengthening civics in the curriculum next time curriculum standards are revised, which Superintendent Gordon also referenced in his comments, but it also requires information on civics to be distributed to adult learners, including information on federal, state, local government, three branches of government, and of course, we always include an emphasis on the importance of the judicial branch and the need for its independence through all of this. We have two other bills that are still awaiting floor votes in the respective houses, one by Senator Corbett. This was not a bill sponsored by the state bar. This was actually the senator's bill, and it requires the state to revise history, social science content standards. There's a number of things that she wanted included in there, but she decided during the course of this bill to include civics education as one of those. There are a number of issues that the governor's office has with the bill, unrelated to our civics ed component, and I know the author is continuing to work. We'll see what happens with that bill. And then the last one was the fix on the chaptering out that's awaiting for final vote. We don't expect any problems with that bill. So those are the types of legislation that we're pursuing. We are very proud at the state bar to step into the role of the advocate to ensure as much as possible going forward year by year to ensure that the legislature will enact many of the recommendations that are in the report that Justice McConnell and Superintendent Gordon referenced. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you, Chief.
So our recommendations are in the report, and I'd like you to take a look at the roster of the task force just to see how broad-based the task force was, and we wanted to make sure we had all the stakeholders involved. The Power of Democracy Committee is already at work on implementation. We've added, with the chief's permission, a student to the Power of Democracy Committee. And we already have two meetings scheduled, and we're establishing regional groups for implementation, because so much of what has to be done to implement these recommendations has to be done at the local level with the local districts, and we're going to see that that happens. The California Bar Foundation has just received grant funding to help us with implementation, as I understand it. I keep away from funding, but people tell me it's funded so we can keep on working. I'd like to thank the chief for allowing me to work on this important project. It has been one of the most exciting and stimulating things I've worked on in years, much better than being on the Commission on Judicial Performance, although I recognize how important that work is. And I particularly want to thank Debbie Genzer, who is our staff person, John Larson, and Bernadette. Debbie's here. Debbie, where are you? Stand up. There you are. Debbie is amazing. and John Marston and Bernadine Adams, and we had a great staff support also from the Department of Education. We're happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Let me say something before any questions come up, and that is my interest in civics, and civics is really the wrong word for it. It just seems to be what it's generically called. But I will say that I became aware, I've been involved in going into schools and talking to students about the judiciary, because the judiciary is one of the least understood branches. We cannot be seen as politicians in black robes. We must be seen as objective fact finders, and that we are essential to a democracy and as a counterbalance to the legislative and executive branch. But my experience was, based on my children, is that schools in the elementary schools were teaching the executive branch and the legislative branch, period. That was it. They weren't teaching the judicial branch. Then when my children went to high school, I learned that they teach civics in the second semester of senior year. So think about that. Second semester of senior year. I'm not going to tell you the grade my daughter got in civics. I'm ashamed of it. Luckily, she'd already been accepted to college. But that tells you where most kids' heads are. So then when I assumed the role of Chief Justice, I learned that the problem was not only with children, but a lot of adults just assumed that the judicial branch was accountable to either the executive branch or the legislative branch. So that was the problem. And because the judicial branch relies so much on public confidence and trust in our decisions and the rule of law, and also because as Chief Justice I saw through other states these political attacks on judges that were turning them and their position on the bench into something adversarial and political, that they were unable to really stem that tide of this attack on politicians because it was sort of too late to educate their constituency. So based on your work for the Commission on Impartial Courts, based on Dave's work, and I knew that Joe had an interest in this, we were able to put the summit on. And that was part of the solution. But it was also to make sure that we didn't just let this sit on some shelf. So what was interesting about the summit is we had, as you described, we had labor, we had business, we had education, we had MALDEF, we had everyone there who's in some leadership position who relies on government for equality of services and education. Everyone was there, and all of them were concerned about the education that our future leaders were getting. All of them were there concerned in asking for equal education and civics education along all three branches of government. And so we were able to move that forward. And so part of this came out, the K-12 Civics Task Force. What was most interesting to me was when you sat down with Dave Gordon, it was legal, it was business, it was labor, it was education. And no one spoke the same language. Everyone used different acronyms, different entities, different governance structures. And so much of that was interpretation and trying to figure each other out. But it was such a building process that it came into this unanimous report. CTA and business were voting unanimously on the same set of recommendations, which was pretty astounding. It also brought in a different relationship with our legislators, where once in 2011, all I spoke to legislators were about bills affecting the judiciary and our budget. Now we were building together on civics education. I call civics education, frankly, leadership training. It might be called civics, but it teaches young people about, as you know, I'm preaching to the choir, it teaches them about how your government works and how you make a change, and that you have to be a critical thinker, and you have to be collaborative, and you have to work with people together. And when you work with a team to effectuate change, it's so much more rewarding. And a lot of these kids who were first English as a second language, they came to me and said they never knew this happened. They appreciated the community support. They liked working as a team. They felt they could be something in their life. They were going to go to community college, which is something they had never thought about, because they were inspired by the civics engagement lessons that they were learning at their school. So I recently went to a group of folks to talk about civics education, and they asked me, what is it really? And I said, well, let me think about this in terms of youth. And I said, civics education is a little bit like the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You know, Willy Wonka is about to retire, and he's got to leave that chocolate factory to someone. So he brings a group of kids who get the golden ticket, and he takes them to the factory to try to explain to him, this is how candy is made, and this is how you protect it, and this is these innovations. And what he's doing is teaching those children how to run a business. But then Willy Wonka, there was only 5 golden tickets. So only 5 lucky kids were able to go through that process. But this is leadership training. Civics education in the schools is leadership training. Those kids are brought through the process of understanding how we work, how we think, how you get results. And unlike Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, we are striving that every child in California have an opportunity to be part of leadership in government. And that's what I think this program is. And I've seen it in high schools catch fire, how children are and students are now really looking to participate in some way. And there was one school, high school in particular, the seniors of that high school chose as their civic project. They were going to go over to the university across the street, and they registered all the freshmen to vote, which was really something. And they did it by a root beer social, and they had every freshman who attended with free food sign up to vote for that upcoming election. So it's very interesting to see how this works at a populist grassroots movement. So I thank you for your work, and I am enthusiastic about it because there are a lot of collaterally great consequences to it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chief. And we're going to switch our focus on the Civic Learning Awards this year to K through 8. So it's going to be a completely different project, and we're excited about that. We've gotten a lot of requests from K through 8 to focus on civic learning.
Very good. Thank you. Yes. Judge O'Malley.
So I'm so excited about this whole prospect. It's really great. And I have to tell you that in my grade school, where my boys went to school, the most popular field trip was the field trip to the courthouse, where they got to tour. Of course, they liked the bailiff and the jail the best, but they got to go to the courtroom. It was the only time in my life I think I was ever the cool mom, but other than that. But they watched and did and performed their own trial. And the kids talked about that. More than any other field trip, and they went to some amazing places because the Bay Area is full of amazing places, and that is the number one rated. So once you expose these kids to the excitement of government and our field, it will take off, and they will get excited about it. So I'm thrilled about this, and thank you for your efforts.
Thank you. Thank you for your work.
All right. Thank you.